this is what a single mother from Balham looks like.
You have an influence for the next generation coming through.
When you feel comfortable, you will thrive as yourself.
Sandy, thank you very much for pulling up a seat today. Now, your career has fascinated me. You're currently the Group General Counsel at Standard Chartered Bank. You've been with Schroders, the World Bank, to name a few. I would love to get to know today who Sandy is behind the big titles and companies you've worked for.
Oh, well, a very ordinary person, I think. I always say I've done those things one step at a time. I always wanted to be a lawyer. I was a little girl. I grew up in Balham and had ambitions to be a judge, actually, rather than a lawyer. Never let go of those ambitions, and now find myself doing something very different. But it is, you know, I look back on my career, and even I can't believe it sometimes in terms of the adventures I've had. I'd say adventures rather than success, because I think it's for others to judge whether it was a success. But when I started out, that it was not what people told me I could do, to be fair. You know, to have those ambitions to be a judge. In fact, one of my teachers told me that little black girls from Balham don't become judges. Made me stubborn and a bit stubborn. I thought, well, if they don't, they do now. So I wasn't really encouraged, other than from my family, to do that by teachers and others until I got into secondary school. So when I look back now, I kind of think, you know, it was a very, very long journey, but an amazing one. So I don't think of those things as defining me, but I do think they were important sort of, you know, road markers to where I got to.
And I want to rewind to something you just said, back to 8-year-old Sandy.
Yes.
Asking or telling a teacher you wanted to become a judge one day and being told that little black girls like you don't become judges. Mm-hmm. In that moment, for an 8-year-old to hear that, that must have been devastating, confusing. What pushed you to carry on and want to say, actually, no, I'm not going to listen to the naysayers. I'm going to do my career as I want, and now end up as the GC for one of the largest organisations?
Well, so at first, I do remember that day quite clearly, because the teacher was going around the class asking everybody what they wanted to do. And I thought there were some really sort of rubbish answers coming from people. So I couldn't wait for her to get to me. So it was footballer, princess, that kind of thing. And I thought, I've got a really, really good answer. So it was a bit devastating when she said, you know, I couldn't do it. But I thought, well, I'm definitely going to do it. And, you know, maybe I will do it one day. I still put it out there. But, you know, those were the times that we lived in. And I don't think she was being mean per se. I think she was trying to manage my expectations and say, you know, the world is going to be difficult for you. Just, you know, temper that. I had, you know, others suggested, you like books, why don't you be a librarian? You know, that kind of thing. So there wasn't the encouragement, but there weren't also the role models if you looked around in that way. But the world was changing. The world around me was changing. There was a lot of, you know, apartheid still existed when I was at school. So there was a lot of marching against apartheid. There was a lot of things you could see the world was really changing. So the idea that you couldn't do something was not really something that I was going to believe in, or many of my peers were going to believe in. So we were going to change the world, particularly women, and we were going to get there. So I don't think it held me back in that sense, because you could see the world was really, really changing. And fast. It wasn't a case of, you know, having ambitions too big. It was just, in a way, were they big enough, really, with the way the world was changing? So I thought, I'm going to do it. And that wasn't the only time in my career I had, you know, little snippets of those things to say, ooh, steady on, girl. You know, don't get above your rank, kind of thing. But I always ignored them, because I thought, right, you know, when I was growing up, the way the world was is not the way that it was changing to be. So everything was up for grabs and everything was going to change.
Completely. Now, when I was looking and doing some research into you in preparation for this podcast, something that I think is really pertinent today is something that your mother said to you back in the day. And I have it here, and she said to you, Sandy, never let someone's poor opinion of you be your own poor opinion of yourself.
Yes.
I couldn't think of a more relevant quote in society today as well. Was your mother a large influence, or did you have a strong family upbringing?
I had a strong family upbringing, but my mum was a huge influence on me, kind of outsized influence. And she would never let me use anything like my gender or my race as an excuse. She would say, nope, that's not an excuse. Don't use that. Go out, work harder, get there. So she was really encouraging into don't listen to people. And she was a nurse from Trinidad, and she faced quite a bit of discrimination herself. But she wouldn't ever tell me, be careful what you wish for, you know, ambition, never temperate like that. So she always said to me, you know, don't take on board the negativity that others are going to give, right? Be the best version of yourself, not a second-rate version of someone else. And you know, work as hard as you can doing what you want to do. And never let anybody stop you from doing that, anybody else's opinion, you know. And because she was always kind of a champion, embarrassing in some ways, actually. She's passed away now, but it was embarrassing in some ways. But, you know, she was always a champion of what I wanted to do and what I wanted to achieve, and would not want me to have any sort of limitations in any sense that were there, maybe, that others could see. And my dad was a really strong influence as well, because he really believed in education. He was a teacher. So he was education, education, education. He was like, you know, no one can take that away from you. And once you have done that, you've got it for life. So I got a real, which many immigrant families have the same view, right? Get an education. Once it's yours, it's yours. But that where you push to, how you push the limits, that really came, you know, from my mum, who was just, she had so much energy, it was unbelievable. She just looking at her exhausted me.
Can imagine, but it's an incredible story. And another thing to pick up on there through our conversations that we've had is you were encouraged perhaps to change your name, or to, your name was too ethnic, was the conversation we had. Actually, I'm sure a lot of people watching or listening to this podcast have been through the same, where perhaps it was their name, their identity, what they may wear, and they were encouraged to tone that down or soften a part of who they naturally are. What advice would you give to people that are struggling with that, or perhaps feel they need to hide a part of who they are to enter the spaces that we're now in today?
Well, I mean, just I was told to change my surname, as you said, because it was ethnic sounding, and I would stand a much better chance of getting a job in the city had I had a more British sounding surname. And I thought to myself, why would I go and want to work somewhere who wouldn't want me to work there because of my surname? And I thought, well, never mind that. I'm going to go and do go and work for those people who didn't mind, care whether I, and that's exactly what I've done. So I still don't know who those organisations would have been. I still don't, I think that's probably was not very good advice. But today, still, you get so many people who come up to me and will say, oh, I've been told, I had a young lady very recently, only a few weeks ago, come up to me and say, she was wearing a hijab, and she said, I've been told, and she's studying law, that she would have to take her hijab off if she really wanted to get a training contract in any of the big city firms. And I all come and work somewhere like Standard Chartered. And I was shocked at that, because it's just not true. I don't know who told her that, but it's someone who doesn't understand what really goes on today, right? I said, actually, it probably would not be noticed, because actually many of these environments are very multicultural. But I really felt for her, because I knew that was such a strong part of her identity. And to say to take it away, she will not feel comfortable. And if she's not comfortable, she's not going to thrive in the workplace, because she'll spend so much time trying to be comfortable in a place that hasn't been inclusive, if that's what's needed, that she doesn't need to worry about those places. And I said to her, actually, you know, the city is not like that. So don't be afraid. Don't take it off when you go to interviews. Do not, you know, make sure that really is part of your identity and you treasure that. If you get any pushback from anywhere, and it certainly wouldn't have been at Standard Chartered or A&O, but if you get any pushback from anywhere, don't go work there. It's not the place for you. So I appreciate there are places like that still, unfortunately, but avoid them, because there's so many places that aren't. But don't compromise your identity, because you will regret it for the rest of your life, because it's who you are. And when you feel comfortable, you will thrive as yourself. will always be a place for you to thrive as yourself. There's so many places in this world. Once you are yourself, you relax, you enjoy life more, and guess what? You can achieve much more. It's so important to understand that. You know, it's you know, you think of when you were a small child and your mum would make you all those, all those clothes on a Sunday, you know, to go to church, and you just didn't feel comfortable and you were kind of moving like that. You don't feel comfortable, right? So you're not concentrating on what you need to concentrate on. I think the more we understand that is part of inclusion, allowing people to be themselves, and so they can thrive, and then whatever environment they're in will you know, prosper as a result of it, is really, really important.
And do you think it's incumbent on senior leaders within organisations like yourself to be the role model or to be the sponsor for those that perhaps feel they have to change themselves or they can't bring their full self to work? Do you think that's a message from this podcast for senior leaders to say, step up, be visible, and understand that you have an influence for the next generation coming through?
I think it's very, very important, because the next generation coming through are forging their careers. And in order to do that, there's a great impulse to fit in, right? We were all there, right? And you think, I need to fit in, I need to be, for example, say, in this corporate environment. But what does that mean? You look right at the top. And I think the more they see people like themselves right at the top, the more important that is for everybody, which is why diversity and inclusion for me is really important, because people, it's so visible now. When I was growing up, it wasn't visible. You didn't have social media, you didn't have Instagram, you didn't have any of these things where you could see, you know, the internet to just see what a firm or an institution could be like. You had to go there, right? So what you relied on, what people said, you know, maybe you got a prospectus or something like that. But other than that, you had to go there. So I think now you can really get a picture of what people are like. You can see an environment, even though you haven't walked into that environment yet. It's really important what we represent. And I think if we all look the same and are a bit cookie cutter, that doesn't work as well. Because we're not as people. We're just not. Everybody is different. And we need to get comfortable expressing our personality in the way that we need to express our personality, because it really, really does impact those below who are looking, because they want to see how comfortable they're going to be somewhere, and they want to see themselves represented in some way. And I think the best way you can do that is through just being your authentic self and being who you really truly are and tell your story. And that suddenly makes a real difference for people. The smallest things can make the biggest difference in people's career.
I love that. And in terms of bringing your personality and full self to work, that's one thing I love most about your story. And I did some research again, and there was a really poignant example I would love to bring up. Now, you were included in a Women in Law photo exhibition. Yes. Now, in my eyes, you could have captioned your portrait as former GC at the World Bank, the current GC at Standard Chartered, a pioneer within the industry. But instead, what did you caption that portrait, and why did you caption it as such?
So I captioned, I think I know the one you mean. I captioned it as, this is what a single mother from Balham looks like.
Correct, yeah.
Because there are so many stereotypes out there, particularly in relation to women, that I thought, you know, that is part of my characteristic, right? And I wanted it to be that line. Like you say, there were so many others, but to say to people, actually, that's part of my characteristic. And when you see that, that may not be the image that pops into your head. But guess what? That is the truth. And there's so many different variations. And, you know, stereotypes really don't exist in the way we think they exist. And if we were to all caption ourselves in a slightly different way, right, in the way other people might not capture themselves, how would you do that? What would you say about yourself? And I remember once I was doing a talk, and I was talking about my childhood in Balham, and there was a young man sitting there going, no, you're not from Balham. I could see it. He was thinking, how can you be from Balham and doing what you're doing? And I stopped and I said, yes, I am. And he said, you're not, because I am. And we started naming roads in Balham, went, yeah, you're from Balham. Because people tend to think and immediately put an image around you when you have a certain job title. And when you've had a certain amount of, you know, good pathways to where you are, let me put it that way. So, you know, being general counsel of the World Bank and now being general counsel, group general counsel here at Standard Chartered, it sounds like, ooh, you know, that's really big, and ooh, that you must have been special. But actually, you know, I'm the same as you, and this is another title you can put to me. So that was really, really important, because they came up with someone and said, no, that's the one I want, because that's not what people are expecting, and it'll be really different to everybody else in the exhibition. And that is so much part of me, that I wanted that, you know, because this stereotype that people have about different things when you describe people is so strong. But let's change that.